TNT Radio wants to know what you really think. Because your opinion matters. At TNTRadio.live, upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's Soapbox. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT, with Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast.
Welcome to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. David Horowitz, one of America's most famous authors and conservative thought leaders, says in his new book, Final Battle, The Next Election Could Be the Last, that there now exists an existential threat to American democracy greater than any our nation has ever faced. Indeed, many of his books, and he has written countless, seem to deal with the Marxist-controlled demolition of America coming from within, with titles like Dark Agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America, Blitz, Trump Will Smash the Left and Win, and The Enemy Within, How a Totalitarian Movement is Destroying America, show that he has been on this subject for a while. He is here to talk about that with us now, to discuss the dangers facing America and his new book, which just came out a day or so ago. Welcome, David. Thanks for coming on the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Joseph.
Well, thanks for coming on. I mean, the subject matter that you've been dealing with for many years now seems to be amping up at new levels and getting stranger and stranger by the day. So your new book is indeed timely.
Yeah, I wasn't able to incorporate the Twitter files that Elon Musk has revealed. They show that we were something I've been saying for a while, in the advanced stages of forming a fascist state in America, where all the intelligence agencies have access to our communications and censor them. People ask, a lot of my book is about, it's actually a continuation of the book I did called The Enemy Within, demonstrating that the main thrust of the Democrat Party has been to establish a one-party state. And of course, the most obvious way they do it is by demonizing their opposition. It started with calling Trump a white nationalist or white supremacist, which was ludicrous. And Trump was actually a liberal. He was a guest at the Clintons' wedding. He supported liberal causes. He won NAACP awards. Nobody ever introduced him saying, this is Donald Trump, the host of The Apprentice and also a white nationalist. This is the most destructive. The lies of the Democrats are the most destructive instruments in finishing our democracy. How can you have a democratic discourse if one side is beyond the pale because it's racist or white supremacy? The very idea that there is a powerful white supremacist presence in America is ludicrous. It's ridiculous. I mean, look at what's just happened with this football player who had a tragic accident.
Damar Hamlin.
Americans, he's embraced by all Americans, white and black, and his foundation. Has already received $4 million in contributions.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, it says it It says it in your book, Democrats have conducted a sustained assault on the spirit of compromise that binds the union together and set the nation on a path to a one-party state. And yeah, it is true. But do you think that some of those insults, calling everything racist, I mean, after a while, isn't it a bit like the boy who cried wolf? Don't people start not taking it as seriously? Or do you think it still just sustains a lot of damage?
Unfortunately, we are such a divided country, thanks to the Democrats, that people on the left don't have access, or they don't listen to other people. They don't tune in and watch Fox or Newsmax or any of the alternative shows with alternative points of view. So there was a study that showed that 61% of Democrats believe that Republicans are racist, which is absurd. This is completely absurd. Right. We have, and you have whole channels like MSNBC, well, all of them, and the President of the United States, Biden, saying that systemic racism affects all American institutions. The only systemic racism in America is affirmative action. Why do I say this? Because the Civil Rights Act of 1964 outlawed, in so many words, systemic or institutional racism. So if there are like 18,000 police departments, which is part of the genius of the founders to decentralize power in our country. If one of these police departments or 10 of them were systemically racist, there would be a tsunami of lawsuits and millions and maybe hundreds of millions of dollars paid in damages. There are no such lawsuits, which tells you right away that there's no systemic racism. And it's very odd. During that horrible summer of 2020, when the left rioted across the country, they conducted 700 riots or so. The whole country was on the side of George Floyd, even though he was a career criminal and drug addict and probably died of a fentanyl overdose. But there wasn't, the whole nation was kind of organized by Black Lives Matter into a lynch mob to convict any cop, any white cop who had an armed encounter with a career criminal resisting arrest and armed himself. How could you call this country a racist country?
Isn't it mostly like down to a Marxist propaganda campaign to elicit a sort of emotionally chaotic division to just, I mean, and aren't there's so many of these agendas working in conjunction, but as it gets worse, as the situation gets worse, in a way it gets better. Like you say in your book, is the Green New Deal about clean energy? Nope. See why it's really about abolishing the oil and the gas industry and 5 million jobs, closing our clean energy nuclear power plants, and on it goes. And now people are feeling this in their pocketbooks. They're seeing the COVID narrative fall to shambles. I mean, do you think there's any chance that people are going to wake up to all these different sort of propaganda campaigns running in concert towards the same end to destroy America and create a one-party system, as you say?
I'm a born optimist. I mean, my head tells me, and this book that I've written shows how serious the threat is. But I remain optimistic. I think America is too individualistic and it's too decentralized, the power. I mean, now we have, who's the resistance to the fascist regime that Biden is running from Washington? It's states like Texas and Florida. I mean, it's sad what's happened to our country. You know, I think of the Moscow show trial that Pelosi set up over January 6th. When January 6th happened, and it was as a protest, it was much milder than any of the Black Lives Matter protests, which actually killed people and torched federal buildings. You want to talk about insurrections. But the Democrats' first response was, they called it an armed insurrection. This in advance of any knowledge, any investigation, any assembling of the facts. And it was quickly pointed out that no firearms were confiscated from the demonstrators inside the Capitol. So how did the Democrats cease and desist their attacks on Republicans? No, they just dropped the armed and said it was an insurrection. Well, how do you have an insurrection without arms? You can't. But that didn't stop them from tarring all the Trump supporters who were there as insurrectionists, i.e. traitors. The Democrats maintained other fictions that people were killed by the demonstrators. All the people who died, there were about five on January 6th, were ardent Trump supporters and died of natural causes. The Democrats singled out Ryan Sucknick, who was a Capitol Police officer, and claimed he was killed by having a fire extinguisher bashed into his head, which turned out to be a complete fiction. Actually, Brian Sucknick was an ardent Trump supporter, and he died the next day in his bed from natural causes. On the other hand, Ashley Babbitt, who was a 14-year Air Force veteran, was murdered, and the murder was filmed. I mean, it's on videotape. She's about 5 foot tall. She was unarmed. She was just standing around, not threatening anyone. And a trigger-happy Capitol Police officer, whom we now know as Michael Byrd, murdered her. And what Nancy Pelosi did was to conceal his identity for months, to quash any investigation, and basically to exonerate him. So in other words, Nancy Pelosi is an accomplice to murder. As I would say, the whole January 6th panel, I mean, their task was to find out what happened, but they never... They never even inquired into what happened to Ashley Babbitt. So Democrats are just get away with murder. And that's a big problem. You know, we're having this fracas over who will be the Speaker of the House. And
Kevin McCarthy.
There's a lot of...
Yeah,
what did Kevin McCarthy say? They're all covering their asses when the Democrats attacked them as insurrectionists and pretending that something horrible happened on January 6th, which is ridiculous.
Why do you think that the next election is going to be the last, though? I mean, you know, what you're saying obviously is happening. There's a lot of propaganda being fed to American people. And if they believe it, you know, they're just falling for, agenda-based politics and fascist media organizations backing it up. But I think personally people are starting to see through a lot of this stuff. That's my hope. But you still in your books are saying this could be the last election. Why?
Well, I've now written two books about how over the last 10 years, well, certainly since Trump announced his candidacy, the Democrats have been driving towards a one-party state. The censorship they do, the attacks on the First Amendment, the attacks on the Second Amendment, the attacks on the Electoral College, the attacks on the Senate as being undemocratic. They want to dismantle the whole American political system. But the unwavering goal is to establish a one-party state. And
let me pause you right there because I got to go to a quick break. But, you know, and also with the passing of the omnibus bill, maybe we already are in a one-party state. We'll be right back with David Horowitz right after these words on TNT.
TNT Radio's Michael Parker.
Do you guys have New Year's resolutions? Do you have some things that you want to change or fix in your life? We all do, and that's a good thing. We all want to get better. Well, if you want to exercise and get in shape, just know that Time Magazine said that that is a sure sign of white supremacy. I kid you not. I kid you not. They are being roundly ridiculed for this article, but in fact, the article in Time Magazine was titled "The White Supremacist Origins of Exercise: Six Other Surprising Facts About the History of U.S. Physical Fitness." As if after 2 years of COVID and illness and deaths of despair and all the terrible things that were wrought by this COVID insanity, now they're telling us that to exercise is kind of what white supremacists and white people with white privilege would do. Absolutely, completely ridiculous.
The program and Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. Brazil's elections, just like America's, were stolen. Fight for democracy and fight for your country and take it back. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. Nothing less than a handbook for the salvation of the United States of America is what Dennis Prager had to say about David Horowitz's new book, The Final Battle. The next election could be the last, and he's here with us now. David, I was just talking about how the Democrats are going for a one-party system with the signing of the omnibus bill. Maybe they already have it. The Republican Party seems to be breaking apart between establishment Republicans that just go along with the Democratic agenda anyway. And now sort of, I guess, Trump would maybe lead this third party. But then again, he's not really seeming all that serious about running again, selling NFTs and whatnot. So anyway, I cut you off a little bit right before that break. But you were saying about it becoming
one-party
country.
The most obvious one is the demonization of Republicans.
Right. Yeah.
And the insurrection is what they're traitors.
It's a manifestation of that demonization, basically.
Terrorists and so forth.
Yeah.
But at the end of my book, there's a sequence with General Milley. General Milley, let's remember that when the Black Lives Matter mobs surrounded the White House, they burned the Church of the Presidents, and they set fire to one of the gatehouses. And if you were watching it at the time, this was a large mob, and they kept pushing at the fences. And it was, the threat was taken seriously enough that Trump was put in a bunker. Trump asked Milley, who was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the presidential advisor, military advisor on security, to invoke the Insurrection Act. This was an insurrection. And Milley refused. He said, you only get an insurrection. You want an insurrection, you have to have troops marching from on Fort Sumter, reference to right. the origins of the Civil War. I believe it was January 2nd, 2021, was the anniversary of Trump's killing of Soleimani, the Iranian terrorist, the biggest mm-hmm. terrorist in the world, responsible for all those IEDs that maimed American and killed American soldiers. And Rouhani, who was the head Ayatollah at the time, said on the 2nd that Trump was not only about to be removed from office, he had already lost the election, not only set to be removed from office, but they would remove him from life. So a meeting was called in the White House with Milley and I think his name is Mark Milley, General Milley, in charge to discuss the security. And Milley went around talking to security forces in the White House. As you know, there's an administrative building next to it, which is much larger than the White House, where you would have security officials calling Trump Hitler, saying that his supporters were Nazis, the guys we fought in World War II, and planning to ring the Capitol with barbed wire, which they did, to defend against Trump. Here's the guy. This is so unconstitutional, so treasonous is what it is. And this information is contained in several books by Washington Post reporters who treated Milley's position making Trump the enemy normal. They don't find anything peculiar in the fact that the chief sort of security officer for the president is painting the president as a Hitler with the same lack of any reasonable evidence that Democrats generally have. So you have to ask yourself, these people, they don't respect the Constitution. I go in detail in the book into rigging elections. Always the wrong question is asked. Nobody knows if the 2020 election was rigged because there's never been an audit, because the Democrats have blocked it at every turn. Trump had 61 lawsuits and none of them were ever heard by the courts. They were thrown out on procedural grounds. And of course, the Democrats demonized anybody who questioned
questions it, and with pointed language as well, calling them election deniers, which is related to Holocaust deniers. I mean, do you believe that they've studied neuro-linguistics programming and stuff like that? How deep does the rabbit hole go? Because essentially what I'm hearing you say is this war is primarily a war of propaganda and name calling, really. Which also means that Twitter opening back up to a free speech platform is huge, actually.
It is, and they're going to try to destroy Musk. It's terrible when you read the memos that Taibbi and Barry Weiss and Schellenberger put out. It's really scary.
And it's finally been covered. It's finally been covered on mainstream media tonight, actually. Tucker Carlson had Matt Taibbi, a picture of him, and was announcing the Twitter files and going into it. So it's finally starting to reach mainstream media as well. I mean, these things, they don't shift things overnight, but bit by bit. Yeah.
What were you saying? I say, Is this the end of America as we have known it? I say it'd be foolish to make an emphatic statement. No, they've already talked about re-education camps, deprogramming conservatives. There's no relation between their attacks on Republicans and conservatives and what conservatives actually think. It's all made up. But
of course it is.
Now, we haven't talked about the most damaging thing, the greatest.
Well, let's save the most damaging thing because I'm going to go to the headlines. But what was I going to say? We're going to come back and talk about the most damaging things right after the headlines on TNT.
TNT Radio News.
I have some exciting news.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. Despite slashing imports of Russian gas by almost 90% in hope of hurting Moscow's economy, a new report by the European Union has found the bloc actually handed over more cash to the Kremlin last year than the year before. A Central Asian nation has taken the extreme step of banning lip singing at all mass gatherings, and a conspiracy theorist magazine that's been stocked by news agencies for decades is being pulled from the shelves in New Zealand, and anyone caught reading it in the country could be punished.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. I'm here with writer David Horowitz. I remembered what I was going to say, David, when you talked about reprogramming camps for Republicans. You know, we heard about camps for the anti-vaxxers, and now there's a lot of shame for people that called for those kind of camps. So there is pushback over time on these issues, and that's why Twitter opening up to free speech will hopefully be a good pushback to their propaganda. But you're about to go into the most damaging thing that we still haven't talked about.
And that is the mentality, which is reflected in their destruction of the border, which is the greatest crime.
The most damaging thing.
Committed against America. But when you understand that how they thought this through or didn't, let me just say, there are books on the really fascist treatment of all the people who were arrested for being in the Capitol to commit suicide. This is the most, as an American, to me, the most embarrassing thing my government has done. There was an ex-cop who had a stick, which he didn't use. He just carried it into the building. and they kept him in whatever, in solitary and isolation for a couple of years. And then he went to trial and they convicted him of carrying a stick in a restricted building. And they gave him 11 years in prison. 11
wow.
years. You don't get that for a murder. But right. the way the border was destroyed tells you how dangerous these people are. Barack Obama, you know, we have a division of powers in our government, which is crucial. If you have centralized power, it's so much easier to shut down the freedom of every citizen. So the founders were very conscious of this and very worried about a tyranny of the majority, as they put it, that one faction would seize the machinery of government or win it and use the power of the federal government to crush all opposition. Well, Obama, the so-called dreamers were these kids who had been brought illegally into the country by their parents. And there was a lot of pressure from the left for Obama to change the immigration law and allow them to stay. And our division of powers says the executive is to enforce the law. The legislature makes the law. And Obama went on television 20-odd times or gave speeches which were televised 20-odd times, explaining to his followers that while he would like to defer their deportation, he didn't have the constitutional authority or the legal authority to do so. And then he went ahead and did it. And that's where our border got breached. Biden comes in, and first thing he does is he's got 62 executive orders destroying the border and changing immigration law. So now we have open borders, completely illegally and unconstitutional. That kind of mentality of no respect. I mean, the only way a democracy can work is if people have respect for its institutions and its procedures.
Mm-hmm. And the Constitution.
Know, most famously, you know, innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
But these guys don't. And Obama, as you know, was mentored by a Soviet agent. He grew up in a communist family. He was inside the communist left until he emerged as a candidate for Congress.
Grew up in a communist family as well.
You were
a radical leftist. So you've had some massive red pilling that happened in your existence.
Yeah. Well, I was involved with the Black Panthers when they murdered a woman I had recruited to keep their books, because I foolishly thought the government would shut them down if they didn't keep their books correctly. I've written a book, Radical Son, about this. But it devastated me for decades. But anyway, here's the thing with the voting. People asked the wrong question. Was the election rigged? The Democrats say it was the fairest election ever, which is a typical Democrat lie. Republicans tend to look at things like the suppression of the Hunter laptop. And you know, for all we know, we have agents of influence running the country, agents of Chinese influence, that is. I don't see any.
That's what I wanted. I wanted to ask you that, though, because you said the destruction of the border tells us how dangerous these people are. Who are these people? I mean, you could say Democrats, but are they, you know, are they corrupted by outside influence? Because there does seem to be a controlled demolition of America going on right now.
Yeah, there's so much
coming from the outside and within.
How do you explain the disaster of the withdrawal from Afghanistan in any other way than that it was a Chinese influence? I mean, you don't have to go to a military academy to know. For 20 years, America encouraged Afghan women to go to school and to become equal in the face of this barbaric religion of the Taliban. And here we have to evacuate the country. And when you've done that, you know, the first thing you do is you evacuate everybody who's helped you, everybody who's going to be vulnerable to these vicious terrorists. And instead of that, they, the first thing they did was pull the troops. So these people had no, and turn the security over to the Taliban. So they gave
and
the
left
whole
billions of dollars of weapons.
The weapons, the advanced weapons they left, the bases, I think there were 7 bases. How do you explain that? And they turned it over to this terrorist organization. I can't explain it except Chinese influence. Anyway,
some kind of deal for the weapons and the value of the weapons for some kind of trade somewhere. I mean, it seems, deal was made behind the scenes.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, I think that if you ask me, I think that Biden is an agent of influence for the Chinese.
That's what it seems like to me, too. The big guy, 10% for the big guy points to that exactly. But let me ask you as well. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, this is very hard to fathom. How many criminals are coming across now that what do we have? We're going to get 2 million people a year into this country, or 3 unvetted. It's mind-boggling to me that Republicans are not doing these studies and emphasizing this. Here's a way to estimate it. The General Accounting Office did a study that found that between 2011 and 2016, there were more than 730,000 illegal aliens in American prisons and jails. And we're talking about, that's a tenth of the number that are coming across now. They accounted for 4.9 million arrests. So they were arrested multiple times as repeat offenders, and 7.5 million offenses. Their crimes included more than 1 million drug crimes, 500,000 assaults, 134,000 sex offenses, 24,000 kidnappings, 33,000 homicide-related events, and 1,500 terrorism-related crimes. Now, what kind of mentality on the part of it's not just Biden, but the people around him would subject American citizens to this kind of threat? You have to ask yourself. Well, I don't put anything beyond these people.
What would your solution be to the border, David?
To the border?
Yeah, how would you solve the issue? What would you do if you were in charge? What would you do to end this problem?
complete the wall.
What policies would you would start, you'd build the wall?
Start deportations. Fix the asylum system is ridiculous. I don't think it's hard to resecure the border. You just have to institute the policies that Trump did. I believe at the end of Trump's, I can't remember the exact figure, but I think there was, only like 40,000, not 2 million coming in a year. He had really reduced it. But you got to deport people. And that's a big, might be a bigger problem than, can be solved. But the fact that Biden, who is an arch criminal. We have a criminal, the Democrat Party is a criminal party. They break the laws, they violate the Constitution. Knowing that they're doing it, that Obama example, he lectured them and said, yeah, I don't have the authority under the Constitution. And then he went ahead and did it anyway. I know this mentality because I was a radical and a revolutionary once.
And I'd say you still are, David. I would say you are definitely still a radical and a revolutionary, just on a whole different level now. I got to go to a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're going to find out from the final battle, the election could be the last, who David thinks this last president will end up being, right after these words on TNT.
Planned recessions to fight global warming? Economic degrowth is the way forward? Wait till you hear this climate solution.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
The once prestigious journal Nature has a new article out, Economic Degrowth Can Work. Here's how science can help. Quote, wealthy countries need to abandon economic growth as an objective to fight against climate breakdown. So forget carbon taxes and the Green New Deal. You need to give up on economic growth. You need to give up on prosperity in order to fight climate breakdown. Notice how climate change doesn't cut it anymore. It's now climate breakdown. Are you ready to abandon economic prosperity and economic growth? Your overlords don't care what you're ready for. They are going to impose it upon you. That is why the Great Reset is in action. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Many power grids worldwide are in grave danger of collapse from the growing amount of intermittent power sourced from wind turbines. Covering the countryside and offshore coastal regions with wind turbines is insane. English journalist James Dellingpole has described wind farms as a cancer and that he wants to raise public awareness of just how disastrous these bat-chomping, bird-slicing eco-crucifixes are in every single respect. These remarks nail the reality of wind farms to a T. When the wind doesn't blow, there is no power. And when gale force winds hit, the turbines are shut down. It's a Goldilocks moment. When the winds are just right, the power produced is at an optimum. In reality, industry and households require power 24/7, not just when the wind blows.
Support childhood slavery and buy an electric vehicle. We mandate that the truth be told.
Lighting the fuse for freedom.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. I'm here with David Horowitz. So, David, with Trump backing Kevin McCarthy's further alienating himself from his base, along with, becoming a vaccine salesman as of late. So, who do you think is going to ultimately run against whoever they conjure up from the Democratic side? What's your prediction of this? Perhaps 2 years last out. Election. Yeah.
It's 2 years out. What I would say is that both Trump and DeSantis could easily win the election.
Right.
People forget. I mean, Trump is, you know, he's got his serious faults, but he's the most vilified human being in all in the history of the planet. And yet he's the only sitting president who increased his vote in the second election, the only one. And he did it, I think it was about 11 million votes. He got 74 million votes. So I think Trump could beat any Democrat. Whether he could get the nomination, I don't know. And of course, Ron DeSantis has done a wonderful job as governor of Florida. But I there are probably other Republicans who were also worthy and could beat the Democrats. They just need, they're too damn polite. What is wrong with them? Why isn't anyone, not one Republican, is talking about Nancy Pelosi as an accomplice to murder? That would blow apart that whole fake committee, the January 6th committee. You know,
You've pinpointed social shame being you know, the battlefield this war is being waged on, and I think it's way more powerful and way more effective than we like to admit. You know, I think people are afraid to really speak their mind.
We need Republicans who will make the Democrats toxic. The Democrats, they lie I've never seen such blatant lying over everything, and they make claims
evidence. Is better. The right is better at memeing, but the Democrats are better at propaganda, and they control the mainstream media right now. So it takes people that want that onslaught of social shame to really stand up and make claims like the one you just suggested. I mean, even Trump has toned down a lot. He's not, you know, he's out there selling NFTs. He's not out there on Twitter. He's, you know, absent from Twitter, even though he's invited back on. He's not really leaning in just yet.
Yeah, that's true. Can I ask you, I understand you're a musician, and I'm wondering if you've interviewed Winston Marshall of Mumford and Sons.
Not yet. Not yet, but I would love to.
He's a very interesting, bright guy. But the thing that impresses me the most is what it's going to take to win this battle is individual courage. This guy, I can't imagine what it's like. He wrote a beautiful tribute to his band, to Mumford and Sons, when he decided to leave them, to protect them from the attacks that had been made on him. But he had an awful lot to lose by doing this. And it's when people have that kind of individual courage, if they are willing to stand up to these people, that will save us.
Story echoes that as well. I started speaking up a long time ago about the injection campaign and whatnot, and I was handed walking papers from many different institutions at that point where I had made my career. So, you know, not to claim hero status right now, but I relate to his story.
My hat's off to you too.
But I agree with you. Yeah, well, and I agree with you, but that's the thing that we have to pinpoint is, you know, and you've said it here now, and you're a historian, you've been studying this stuff forever. And so for you to keep underlying the fact that at the center of it is the demonization of the Republicans, or really it's because I don't even identify as a Republican or a Democrat at this point, because I'm starting to see the whole thing as this divisive psyop, basically. But anyone basically who speaks out against the agreed upon agenda as handed to them by the mainstream, which tends to be Democratic Party based at this point, but those lines are even getting blurry. But I agree with you that it's going to take people to be able to speak their mind against the barrage of oncoming social shame, basically.
Yes.
Individual courage.
Yep.
So how do we get that going then? What's the solution? How do we promote that idea? How do we get people to be courageous?
They have to stand up and be counted. I think it's done by example. I think the assault on school children has roused a whole, that's one new movement. One of the things that Trump has done, maybe is greatest achievement from the point of view of saving our country, has been these mass rallies. When I first came into the right 40 years ago, I looked around and said, first thing I said was, where's the ground army? My leftist comrades who were now hating me, they had all these organizations to harass, CEOs. Yeah. And just push, and they infiltrated the Democrat Party and eventually took it over. But
yeah,
you couldn't get three Republicans to march together. As they look at each other and say, "What are we, collectivists?" It's a problem.
Listen, you say you have to lead by example, but the other thing they do is they make examples out of the people that step out of line. They're good at that as well. And I'm sure it's true, that quite well. So they reverse, let me just finish, they reverse the example you're giving because they pin you to the wall, basically, and they show people this is what happens when you step out of line. So it almost works backwards.
Yeah, but they're up against America, and America is individualistic. Distrustful of government and very much for free speech.
True.
And so you don't want to underestimate. I mean, look at who's carrying the battle as comedians who are, naturally leftists.
Yeah.
Who are threatened in their work this way?
Yeah, but they can't work under a politically correct system.
There's a lot of political correctness. Conservatives have a congenital failing, and that is they're realists, and realism can easily turn into fatalism. You see that people have they don't stand up. They're like lemmings. These terrible things go down. But you can't give in to that. People, I often think of China. Which was behind what we used to call the bamboo curtain for generations. And then there was that brief flowering of the protests in Tiananmen Square. And, the symbol that they seized on was the Statue of Liberty. These ideas are very powerful and very contagious. We live in interesting times, as it were.
We're cursed to live in interesting times, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I wish it were different. We haven't even talked about race, which is...
Well, that'll have to be the next time, David, because we're heading towards the end. Your book, Final Battle, The Next Election Could Be the Last, just came out, what, yesterday, huh? Congratulations, sir.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me.
Well, it's been wonderful, man. It's an honor to have you on. And, you know, there's lots to discuss, lots more to discuss. Tell people how to find you or where they can find you on Twitter or wherever you post up.
I'm at Horowitz39 on Twitter. And my website is frontpagemag.com.
All right.
Ton of stuff up there.
And did you get banned and unbanned, or did you stay tweeting the whole time?
I would have to give away
too much. All right.
It's a secret.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. It's a secret. I'll dig for that next time, David Horowitz. Thanks for coming on. Okay. We'll start off there next time. Go get The Final Battle. The Election Could Be the Last. We got to go. We'll be right back with Ruckus and the headlines after these words on TNT.